Blog Talk Radio.
With Shopify's mobile app, you can handle your business anywhere. Add and edit
So you think my heart made of stone.
Thank you.
my head to my toes, my love for you suddenly grows. Not from the outside, but inside soul. I love you, I love you, I love you. Without you, I can't breathe.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Lisa Experience. Tonight, my sister be running a little late, so her co-host, Mr. Miles, everybody know Miles. Mr. Miles will be taking over for the beginning of the show till she get in. And hopefully she won't be that long. If not, I'm sure Miles can handle it, or if you need any help, just let me know. I'll be right here in the back. So without further ado, we bring in Mr. Miles.
Good evening, my black brother. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Miles? What's the deal?
I'm hanging in there. Jay, you gotta learn on your work on your DJ skills, man. You be skipping songs and stuff.
I'm trying to do that YouTube thing.
See, that's your problem, man. Use your real skills. Put a tape in your deck.
Yo. Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me about
Yo,
it.
Yo, man, right, just put a cassettes. I know you still got some of them around the house. Yo, today, Jay, listen, we were supposed to, your sister had a graduation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was telling me about that. You know, tonight's topic was about, you know, we just did Father's Day, but we was wondering what, you know, talk to anyone, man, woman, teenager, youngster, how it was growing up without a father. You know, men, boys, girls, women, whoever grew up without a father, how was it? You know, did they feel like, you know, their father wasn't there because of them, or it just didn't work out? That's what the topic is about tonight, man. That's what I'm interested in finding out, is how many listeners out there who grew up without a father, you know, man or woman. You know, you're a grown woman who grew up without a father. I like to hear about that. And like your listeners who are online, if they want to, you know, send in a message or, you know, a comment or something they got, let them speak up. If you want to come on live, press zero. No, press one. Gotcha. We'll let you in. That's all, you know, that's all.
Did you grow up with your father?
Yes, you know, because our father, you know, he worked for Custer's Plumbing Supply down there on River Street back in the days.
Okay.
And we live right around the corner from there on not too far from there on Arch Street. And you know, every morning, you know, we'll see him leave in the morning before we get up and go to school. He'll get up and leave, and we don't see him till like 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, he sit around. He, like I tell you, he taught us how to box, how to do certain things. But mostly we grew up, you know, with our uncles around a lot because, you know, they was always coming over checking on their sister, which is our mom. But our dad, you know, he worked it. You know, he showed us how the value of a job because he always worked, and we always had some food on the table. You know, we used to go fishing on River Street.
We used to go fishing on River Street.
Yeah, the bridge, bro. You know, the bridge down there?
Right.
Bridge Street and all on down there. Yeah, back in the days, man, you could fish back down there back then.
Wow.
Fishing was good back in them days. The water was clean.
We always went out to, Oakland or Pompton Lakes or Franklin Lakes or something like that, fishing.
Yeah. You ever heard of the back race?
The what?
The back race. It used to be this right behind Lou Costello swimming pool, right off from the falls.
No, I never heard of that.
Yeah, man. So back in the day, the water was clear enough to go fishing, man. Good fish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but now
I grew up with my father too, so I really didn't know, you know, how it was for somebody to grow up, you know, without their father. But you know, I've been around a lot of people who grew up without fathers, and I know sometimes that. You could grow up with a father and it seemed like you didn't grow up with a father, or sometimes you can grow up without a father and it could seem like you had a father there because, you know, the mother became the father, or like you said, uncles or cousins or somebody else stepped up to the plate, or just a father figure in the neighborhood. You know, it could have been something like that too. You know, so
yeah, because down the hill.
It's a what?
Because back down the hill, it used to be like that. Because a lot of fathers back then did a lot of working back then. It was like, mom stayed home, took care of the family. But you know, your uncles, your brothers, them the ones we looked up to because pop was always working. And then we'll see like old senior citizens sitting out on the porch. They would tell us stories and stuff. They would say, "Yo, man, don't do that. If you do that, I'm gonna tell your father." And we knew not to do that because it was like the fathers of the neighborhood who didn't work. And the ones who work late at night, you'll see them out there in the daytime on the porch cleaning their cars or sitting on, you know, playing cards on the porch. And they would watch the kids around the neighborhood do something bad, you get told on. We didn't call it snitching. We called it looking out for one another.
That's how
it was.
That was
kind of cool.
Those days were different, though. Like, one person on the block could, like, chastise anybody kid. You know, it didn't have to be your father or your mother. It could be somebody just on the block.
Yeah,
you had to respect your elders back then. I remember.
Yeah.
Remember times when things like when cousins or family came over and your parents would tell you quick, like you couldn't, like, you know, you don't stay around when there's grown people around. You don't be listening.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. You gotta go, you know?
stay out of grown folks' business.
Yeah, you couldn't sit in there and try to listen or nothing like that. They didn't play that.
Oh, man, it was crazy, too, because they would talk about some crazy stuff. You want to listen and say, boy, go sit down somewhere. Go outside and play.
Yeah.
Every time you see,
they'll
like,
in a minute.
Yeah, because in our house, when our uncles showed up, our uncle's girlfriend showed up, and they came in to see our mother. As soon as she came out, we knew the deal. Time to go.
Yeah.
Go sit down.
That's how it was. It was different times.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I really don't know. I couldn't tell the difference from people who didn't have fathers, like, in my neighborhood. I couldn't. It ain't like you could say somebody didn't have a father, and they, you know, oh, he was bad because he didn't have a father. Because, you know, you had bad kids with mother and fathers. You had bad kids with just fathers or bad kids with just mothers. So I couldn't really put a pinpoint on it. It would have to be, like, the person that – the individual would, like, probably have to tell you more about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody who went through it, grew up and went through it.
Yeah, we had kids on our block when we moved up on Governor Street. They would tell us that, even though their dad was around, but it didn't seem like he was there.
Yeah.
How some dad be rough on them. And we even had kids say, I wish my dad was like your dad. Or, you know, they want to come by your house and stay. When they got kids came by your house, want to stay longer. To us,
yep.
Like, oh, they didn't want to go home. You know,
I
dad
remember
sometimes. We have fathers on the block. Sometimes they drink too much, and you see them arguing with their wives or their girlfriend, whatever. And the kid be sitting there thinking, like, it's his fault, or I can't stand you. You got some bad behind kids, you know. We had that in the neighborhood, too. But every time the kids came out to play with us, you know, we let them know, hey, man, you ain't the only one going through that. You know.
I remember them days.
Yeah. You know, my father knocked me out one time.
Knocked you out?
Knocked me out cold as a milkshake, Jay. Me and my brother got into a fight, right? And he was telling us to stop. You know how they say, stop. Go sit down. You know, you keep going at it. So he came over and broke us. He said, I told you to stop. I said, I pushed him. He said, no, you didn't. I said, yeah, you better stand between me and him. He said, boy, don't make me knock you out. So I tried to get to my brother again. He said, I just told you that. And I turned around, and he cold-cocked me, man.
Wow.
I mean, I woke up, Jay, it was dark outside, because I told him, why you hit me? Like, he said, I told you to stop. I tell you to do something, you do it. You don't pay no bills in our hand.
They didn't play back in them days.
Oh, man,
they
hell
didn't play.
No. Stentacore days.
it was a whole different time. A whole different time back in those days.
Yeah,
a
man.
A whole different time. I'm going to, let me see, let's take a quick break real fast. And
yeah, hit me with something nice.
Let me see who on the line and stuff like that while we wait. What'd you
got
say?
The
hit
link.
Me with something nice. All right, I'm going to hit you with something nice, all right. Here we go.
You're the sweetest thing I know. You dim the rainbow's glow. There's no power on this earth to separate us.
Why you gonna play something? You know, boy, you ain't nobody's sunshine, man.
I don't know that. I don't. My sister picked that record, man. I don't. That's her record. We got a caller, Miles. We got a caller.
Okay.
All right.
Good evening.
One second.
Good evening.
Okay. 5:05. Hello.
Thank you, Tom.
This Miss Miller?
Hello. Yes.
Hi, Miss Miller. How are we doing today?
All is well. All is well.
You heard about Von Zola, Mom?
Yes. I was told that before the Robo Blast went out. I was told about it.
Yeah, I didn't hear it to the day. Now, we discussed in tonight's topic is about who grew up without a father. You know, girls or boys, whoever grew up without a father in a house, you know, how do they feel about that? Did it affect them? Did they feel like it was, you know, because dad thought it was too much, or maybe because they thought it was because they left because of him, or, you know, experience anything like that?
Well, my father was in and out of me and my siblings' life. It really had nothing to do with it. Basically, what you're saying was just other circumstances. My father just had an addiction.
Oh, okay.
But
how did that make you?
I mean, yeah, through that time, yes, because I see my father, you know, when I did see him, I didn't want him to go. But eventually, that's what happened.
So did at that time, did you know that's why the reason he left, or you didn't know and thought it was?
I did. No, I know.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. Me and my siblings was pretty much the mother raised us. My father, like I said, he did what he could do, and he pretty much was able to go on, you know. My brothers and my siblings was very successful, even though father not being too much in our life because of his addiction.
Okay, did I feel you? Did I make you feel upset with him or disappointed in him?
I didn't really too much feel upset. I was a little disappointed, but I understood. Yes, but as time went on, you learn to understand and you forgive, Mal.
Right.
Yes. After 2011, my father got clean. My father been a part of me and my sibling's life ever since, Mal.
That's a good thing.
My father's in my life, Mal.
Yeah, because forgiveness is the best way to go because you don't want to carry that hatred and anger with you for the rest of your life. Because it eats away at you.
Oh, yes.
So I can imagine, you know, the kid that's growing up in foster care and what's that other, these homeless shelters and stuff like that, kids is growing up without fathers and moms and just ending up the way they do.
Right.
I can imagine what they're going through.
Some just wound up in the street, but unfortunately for me and my siblings, you know, that wasn't a case for us, Mal.
Yeah, it's good to have somebody in your life to there for you, to take over, to make you feel at least somebody, you know, you that cares.
Correct.
So, Jay, is you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is anybody on your line got a question or something they want to ask online? Did they text you?
Not at this time. It's people listening, but nobody pressed one yet.
Okay, you know, if you got a question or you want something to say about this topic, want to speak on it, press one and let us know how you feel. You know. Don't be shy. You don't have to give your name. You could just speak your mind.
Sometimes that's like pulling teeth.
Yeah, that's why we don't use pliers, Jay.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Hey, Jay, when you grew up in your neighborhood, some of the kids you seen out there, you ever ran into some kids who wish they wasn't home with their father?
I never had nobody tell me that, but I mean, you could see it, you know what I mean? You could feel it maybe because maybe their father was an alcoholic or maybe he was quick to beat him or something like that. So you could see it, you know, being on the outside looking in, and then I seen people who probably their ways and actions and their behavior maybe led you to believe that they wanted a father figure, but I never had nobody. Well, you know, when you're young, you don't really think like that. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't when you're young and you got friends like. I mean, it's just you and your friends. Like, you just get up in the morning, you know, and you go to school, or if it's summertime, you get together with your friends, or if it's after school, you get together with your friends. You never, like you never think in your mind, oh, he don't got a father at the house. Like, that don't even cross your mind, because really, to be honest with you, like, how many times do you see your friend's parents when you're growing up? You know, you see him when you go to the door, you go to your friend's house, you might see his mother come to the door and like, hey, Mrs. something, or, how you doing, Miss so-and-so? Very seldom you might see his father. I don't think my father ever answered the door in my lifetime. I got to ask my sister that. I can't never remember my father answering a front door or a back door or a telephone.
And you know, I got to agree with that because our father, when he was home, man, he come home from work, he go in there, clean up, he sit on that sofa, turn on that tube or the radio, play his old music, and whoever knocked, we had to go answer. He ain't getting up.
Yeah. And I just thought of, and I just thought about that just talking. I could never remember my father walking to answer a door or knocking or a doorbell. He would call you, you know what I mean? Or he would call to get the phone or
answer that phone.
And I just knew, I just knew his rules, like, you know, never wake him up when he's sleeping. Like, that was a death sentence.
Well, see, Jerry, me and you close to the, I got you by like at least 5-6 years. But, you know, like when we was kids growing up like that, we used to just run to our neighbor's house knocking on the door. Yo, can Joey come out? And can Mike come out and play? And that'd be about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see they like, hey, Mr. So-and-so, and keep it moving.
Yeah, that's how it was. You never really took time to think about he don't got a father in the house or he don't got a mother in the house. Because like I said, if you came to my house, you probably never saw my father. Like, you know, either he probably was either working or sleeping. You know what I mean? Unless he was in the backyard, you know, doing something, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, we always
do. And most of the times anyway, your parents, they knew. I mean, not your parents, but you knew if your friends was coming because you told them, you know, come to my house after school or I'll come to your house or we'll meet up somewhere or you never really, you know, once in a blue moon, you know, you have friends' house that you, we didn't stay in the house too much like it is now. Like, we never stayed, like, well, you know, like you said, we're about the same age. We never stayed in the house. I guess we couldn't stay in the house because it wasn't nothing to do in the house. It wasn't no video games and all that stuff.
It was always that saying, get in the house before the lights go off, the street light. You better be there before the street lights go off. And you can tell when kids, somebody who can't come out because they are like they sitting on the porch, they don't come off the porch, they want to dump something, they can't go play. Are you going to knock on the door? So come out? No, he ain't coming out today. He wants to dump something, he can't come out. Then you try to figure, okay, he ain't coming out.
And if a father had a problem back in them days, like somebody's father, if it wasn't really like alcohol, like you really wouldn't know anyway. You know what I mean? Like unless you knew it in their appearance, you know what I mean? But I mean, you couldn't look at nobody until they sniffed cocaine back in them days. Like you couldn't listen. I mean, we learned to know with people who was shooting heroin. You learned to know because you might have seen somebody nodding out, but you couldn't look at them and tell if they were taking pills and you couldn't look at them and tell if they was, like I said, sniffing coke and or whatever they was doing. Sometimes you could, like my father, like I tell everybody, he kept a bottle of Johnny Walker Red under his car seat. My whole life, he always kept a bottle of Johnny Walker Red under his driver's seat. I never seen him drunk in my life. But he kept a bottle of liquor under his driver's seat in the car. But I never seen him drunk. I would see him take some out and take, like, he would pour some in the cap, like, and take a couple of shots. But that would be it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, so you don't know. You didn't really know. We got a caller, Miles. Hold on 1 second.
Gotcha.
8555 is live.
Yeah, what's the deal, brothers? What's going on?
Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Alaikum salam. What's going on?
All right. Shah, we speaking on kids, you know, girls and boys grew up without a father, you know, in the family. How was it for you?
I had a stepfather, but I didn't have my birth father, you know, and when I was growing up, you know, my older brothers was playing the father role, you know, until I got like about you know, 16, then it was like I had to fend for myself, really, you know, pretty much. Like, you know, so that, I mean, and I think probably the worst thing for me not having, you know, my father around was the curiosity of, did I have more siblings? What was his family, the other side of my family like? So you miss a whole part of yourself when you don't have your father around.
Right.
So it's another part of you that you can't identify with. Like, you know, you could be around your father and you could say, oh, that's where I got that from. That's why I act like that. My father do that, you know, because I've seen people and I've seen, like, characteristics with, like, you know, guys with their fathers, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way they hold their mouth, their mannerisms, you know, different stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, so that's why, you know, I guess I stress so much of being there, you know, being fathers, being in sons' lives and daughters too, just, you know, the best of the ability, you know, just try to be there. And, you know, but
okay.
When you was
growing up and he wasn't around, did you wonder, you know, why he wasn't there? Did you ever thought maybe he just didn't want to be there? Or, you know, because some kids...
No, I knew. I had the chance to meet my father. I met my father. My father used to come around,
right.
And then you know he used to come around. We used to live on Grand Ave. He used to come around. We live on Governor Street, but when I moved to 17th Ave, I didn't see him anymore. And you know that I heard that you know nobody would give him the address when we moved.
Oh, okay.
So lost touch. The last time I knew, you know, my mom knew where he was at, he was in Plainfield. So I didn't think that, no, it was because of me he didn't want to be around, because I, you know, I interacted with him when he was around. You know, and
right.
three things. I remember my father having a Cadillac. I remember my father wearing suits. And I remember my father having like a 38 Special. You know, those things I remember about.
Yeah, I was telling Jay, I remember growing up on Governor Street back then when my father knocked me out. I listening, you know how they tell you to stop and you don't listen.
Yeah,
I remember he used to ride around that big old Kessler truck when he get off work, parking in front of the house. Always had his home movie videos, because he was always into boxing. He used to teach us how to box, and he used to hit us hard, man. Like, yo, you know, that's kind of hard. He said, man, shut up and take it. Be a man. Say stuff like that, you know.
Right.
But our uncle used to always be around.
Yeah. You know, like y'all was saying, you know. The times were different, the music were different, the people were different, and you got to think about the parenting was different. You know, like there was things that we got from our parents that many of us didn't continue with our children. You know, we felt it was too harsh or it was out of date or whatever. You know, some of the stuff that, you know, we need to bring back. We need to, you know, bring back, you know. The main thing is being having responsibility, not getting. Whenever you got something from your parents, you earned it. You did, you know. Most times, you earned it some way or another. You know, you couldn't just come to your parents with, you know, come to your parents talking about, you know, I want sneakers for $50 or $25. Now they, you know, children come talking about they want sneakers for $200 and they get them. And, you know, your main thing is you had to, you know, it was sticklers on keeping them grades up.
Yo, man, I had to shine shoes. I had to shine shoes to get me extra money.
Yeah.
And,
okay. And think about that, though. Think about having to do something to get money made you more responsible rather than just giving you money.
Yeah, you got to earn it.
Yeah, yeah.
We was just saying,
go ahead.
Me and Jerry was talking about, like, when we was kids growing up, when grown-ups came around, we had to get lost.
Yeah, the thing was, you could be seen but not heard, you know?
Yeah.
That type of thing. And now, you know, that's different as well. You know, like you said, your father checked you when you didn't listen. Now,
yeah,
a lot of times, children are not getting checked. They talking to you all crazy, you know, they disrespectful and all that. So a lot of that start at home. And then the other thing is, as you know, as Tori was saying with her father, sometimes when parents have an addiction, you know, that's a sickness, and you don't be present.
True.
In the manner where you can, you know, discipline and all that. You know, I think a lot of things happened during the crack epidemic. That's, you know, during that time, that crack epidemic did some damage.
A lot of damage.
You know, and the fact was, okay, it could take a straight-A student and turn them to a straight addict, right, almost overnight. And it had women selling their bodies, and it had children watching their mother performing sexual acts or whatever. You know, that
not
kind
only,
of thing. So, you know, with people as young as that.
Yeah, and not only that, man, these women, beautiful women, healthy, great bodies, smoking that stuff, next thing they look like a pencil.
Yeah.
Teeth all messed up, face all crooked.
Yeah. So, you know, that it did damage. And a lot of times when it got to that point, it was the crack and the heroin together, because they used one to try the crack, you two up, then you use the heroin to try to balance out.
Yeah, because remember how they take the heroin, then they put the morphine to help break that habit? Are we going to put them on it?
Yeah.
Then they go cold turkey and all that stuff.
Yeah. More
crazy days, man. I was just checking out on I Googled this thing about, you know, kids that's, you know, going to prison and doing violence. They always talk about how they grew up. Foster care, no father figure, abused kids, and they just take it from there. Parents all, you know, drugged out and everything. I'm like, so this is how our kids is behaving because of this kind of mentality that's going on in their lifetime.
Yeah, and it's some of it is not. That's the 80s. Like, speed up. It becomes just, you know, parents not really wanting to be parents. Wanting to still do what they want to do and don't want to, you know, handle their responsibility. Want to go out and party, want to hang out, want to spend money on certain things, that type of stuff. So some of it is neglect. You know, it ain't, you know, it's not like the drugs got people like they had in the 80s. It's more or less that they want to have a good time. They want to finger pop.
It's party,
you know. Yeah.
And Dee, I also noticed, like, a lot of these women, you know, who have babies by this one guy, like three or four girls have, they'd be so pissed off at the guy had a baby by another girl. They don't even let the kids grow up to know that they're brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. That you know, that happens, you know, and that's unfortunate. However, the only way that can happen if the father is active in all of their lives. You know,
true.
If the father's active, then he can make sure that happens.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. But there's, you know, occasions where guys, you know, making babies, but they're not even taking care of them. They're just making more babies. So sometimes it's that. And then sometimes, as you said, okay, because they had a baby by somebody else, then the woman don't even want them to see the baby that they had, and then, you know,
yeah,
and the baby suffers. So it's we got a, you know, we got a lot of issues and illnesses that we have to really, you know, work on.
And not only that, we got some of these parents grow up telling their kids that their father hated them. He didn't want to be bothered with you. Just relying on the man, and, you know, he be trying to get her seen, but she won't let you. Then they be telling the kids, your father didn't want you. And, you know, just because you hate him and to take it out on the kids, it's really pathetic, though.
Yeah, it's more than pathetic. It's damaging to the child, you know.
Yeah,
damaging
true.
To the child because it messes up the child's self-esteem. If your parent don't want you, how do you grow up when you feel like your parent don't want you? Now you seeking attention. You become attention seeker. And now if you're a girl, you all up trying to find love, you know, from
wrong
a bunch
places.
Of guys. And if you're a guy, you grow up trying to mess with a bunch of women. So some of this stuff be, you know, things that happen be from your childhood traumas that you never really addressed, because you got to remember, therapy just really started floating around in our neighborhoods. We didn't even really know nothing about therapy. And then still, now that we do know, there's not a lot of us that can afford a therapist.
And you know, a lot of that stuff too, that's where most of them kids, like you said, searching for a different kind of connection, end up what? Dealing with the wrong people. That's where you get gang banging. They join gangs. Girls out there doing stuff they shouldn't, listening to other people. Because if they can't get no advice at home, they hit the streets and somebody else tell them something different.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, what I don't get is this, D. Like, you got a son, 13, 14 years old, walking the house with like leather jackets, gold chains, and Nikes on it, and you know he ain't got a job, and you're like, if you didn't get it from him, where'd you get that from? And when you condone that, that makes it even worse. When the parents see it, it's just like overlook it.
Well, to times, like, I was hustling when I was that age. So
yeah.
I wouldn't come in the house and let my mom see stuff. You know, I would hide the stuff. You know what I mean? So I didn't, you know.
Better.
Yeah. So I didn't, you know, I didn't come in wearing stuff, this, that, and the other. You know, so if I did do something, I would mess around. I'd talk to my sister, you know, and, you know, say she got it for me or whatever. You know, I would work out, you know, some type of scheme. And so a lot of times, my point is that your child could be hustling and you won't know if they
true.
Being mindful. You know what I mean?
They're smarter.
Being mindful. Right. You being considerate of your parent because you don't want them to know.
Right.
You know? So it took a while for my mom to actually find out that I was hustling. She messed around, just happened to look out the window one day and saw me, you know, and I normally didn't make transactions by the house. She just happened to see me. So sometimes I would tell her, look, I had made a bet with this guy, he paying me for a bet. You know, I come up with all kinds of stuff.
True. Hey, Jay. Yeah.
What up?
You got any more callers, Jay?
What up? No. Somebody got some feedback. Or they on a headset or something.
What's that? Yo, Jay, hit us with a song. We're gonna take a for a second today. Straighten that out.
Can y'all hear me?
All right.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yes.
So that's my phone. I thought I was on mute. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Okay.
We still love you.
I was about to text you to tell you on mute.
It's all right.
Hey, hit us with a song and check the line to see anybody left a question or a quote with anything.
Okay. All right. 1 second.
Love and happiness. Yeah. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love. Love and happiness. Wait a minute, something going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. How she can make it right again. Yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good with somebody. There's nothing wrong with being in love with someone. Yeah. Oh, baby. Love and happiness.
Love and happiness.
Oh.
That's a true song, too, because love will make you do some crazy stuff.
Yes, it will.
It will make you stand up and slap your kids when you don't want to.
Wow.
I'm going to slap you because I love you, son. You ain't been listening. Because I remember, you know, I remember we used to get whoopings, man, and now what they call them, child abuse. Right now you get a whooping?
Kids is allowed to call diapers.
Yeah, knocking on your door. Why you whoop your son? He stole a car. Do you want to lock him up? And then all of a sudden, I'm a bad parent, you know. Make up your mind. So, Jay.
Yo.
It's about 9. It's almost about 9 o'clock. We got any more callers?
Wait 1 second.
Don't tell me they scared to speak out now.
No, we don't got no more callers, but we could wrap it up, really. But I wanted to say something about that. Shadi has said something about that crack era. I was listening to something. They was talking about that fentanyl now. Fentanyl is like the new crack. It's taking over the country. And somebody was saying, they ain't making that fentanyl in the hood. They ain't making it in the ghetto. They ain't making it in the urban city. They making that fentanyl somewhere and pushing it to the places where they want it to go. You know, I forgot where they said they making that. I don't know if they making it in. They making it somewhere. I forgot where they making the fentanyl.
They
I don't know if it's Japan.
They trying to say China is pushing it here to America.
China. Yeah,
that's
something like that.
Do any of y'all remember? Do you remember what Michael Jackson died off?
Yeah.
Supposedly. What was it?
Yeah.
Fentanyl.
No, fentanyl. It was fentanyl. That's
2009.
Yeah, they had a different name, but it was basically the fentanyl.
Yeah.
and
oh, I know that.
Yeah, after that, it's been coming. It became popular now. Mm. You know, and so it's like that's a pharmaceutical drug.
Hey, Shadi, you notice every time a drug come out, they got this, but when it hit white people, they got these big names for them. Because, man, they used to have heroin back in the speedball.
Yeah.
Ape and all that. Now it's heroin and OD. Man, it's an epidemic now. White kids.
They don't never really care about drugs until it start hitting the powers that be children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until it start hitting them. Them suburbs and the gated communities and all them places like that, they don't long as they stay where they want to stay, they really don't care. You know what I mean? But once it starts spreading to them other areas, that's when it become a problem, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, you got to tell about it. When it's in the urban city, it's criminalized. When it hit the rural areas, it becomes something that needs to be treated. You know, now it's humanized. You know, you think
like
about
Donald Trump's dead.
Yeah, it's humanized now. Now it's humanized. Now it's an addiction. It needs to be treated. But
you know what Donald Trump said about it, right?
You go to prison. What?
Drug dealers. Now we should send them, put them in a gas chamber, electrocute them, kill them. Now you want to kill a drug dealer?
Then kill all the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, that's the ones who doing it.
You got to kill all of them because mostly any medication has side effects. So
exactly.
A side effect sometimes is worse than what they're trying to treat.
Exactly.
So,
now you know I come to your house, I go in your basement, I ain't gonna see no laboratory down there. I ain't gonna see no drug house in your basement either, Jay. But all of a sudden all the drugs in our neighborhood, but where's it coming from?
Yeah.
Well, you know, most of us don't have no boats or no planes.
Exactly.
You know? So
and trust me, they could stop it from coming here if they really want to.
Of course.
Hey Jay, their biggest mistake was in the '70s when they dropped it in California. They didn't realize it was gonna get out of control like that. When they're doing the Black Panther days, man, they brought that stuff down to California, man, and it went out of control. They think, oh Lord, that's when hell.
You saw the movie The Godfather.
Yeah, it did what they wanted it to do for the time period they needed it to do it.
Exactly.
You know, so it just, you know, it just started lately spreading out to those other communities, but it did the damage. It has not only criminalized it stagnated us. Like, it put us in a state of stagnation, because what happened is, for a while they moved all the jobs out, you know, all the factories jobs were gone, so a lot of people was turning to drugs, you know, before. And remember, there was a time when our community had the numbers and we were able to eat off of the numbers, and then the mob starts wanting to take the numbers.
Exactly.
And ultimately, the government took over.
They called it a lottery.
Right. So that took money out of our neighborhoods. And I remember, you know, we were thriving off of that. Like, the community was thriving off of numbers. Like, you could go to the number guy and get a loan. So, you know, so some of the stuff that they criminalized was benefiting us. Like,
yeah, because you know, you're right about
numbers.
Numbers. Yeah. You put 50 cents on a number, you get $200-$300 back then.
Hey,
for 50 cents.
Yeah.
Sure. That's how my family moved out of the Christopher Columbus Projects. My father hit a street. CCP. Yeah, that's where I was born at. A lot of people don't know that, but my father hit a street number, and for a lot of money, and we moved out the projects, and he got the down payment for or the rest of the money. He probably had some saved up, but he got the rest of the money for the down payment on the house that I grew up in from a street number.
So think about that.
About if that happened with your father, think about how many other people came up like that. Now you see how it could be a problem. Because remember, it's a street number, so you ain't paying no taxes. You don't
No taxes.
You know what I'm saying? So now they find out, oh man, these niggas is coming up. These niggas are doing good. We got to come.
And everybody knew the number writers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Hey,
this
number for me.
Yeah, it's five cent, ten cent. Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
D, you right, D, because now you hit a lottery number, they take taxes off that bad boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, damn,
yeah.
You don't get the 20.
Yeah. No, you got to get taxed. So the government is the biggest gangster. They the biggest gangsters, the biggest crooks. Anytime they come in on something, they want in. The gangsters, because who was doing that prior to them? The mafia. So, and when you, like you said, when you watch Godfather, what happened? What happened to the gangsters? The next generation went into politics. So,
I was getting ready to say,
go ahead.
I was getting ready to say that part with you know, because the mafia, they was against drugs. They was against it. But then when they finally decided to get with it, they said, As long as you keep it with the niggas, it's okay.
Yeah,
you can do it.
As long as you keep it out of their neighborhood. Shove it to us.
They was okay. Yeah, they didn't care. As long as you kept it out of their neighborhood. So like this,
but
the whole system has always been like the whole it's like when people say like the laws was made, you know, to benefit the rich people, and it's just always been like that. You know what I mean? And every now and then you see somebody, you know, they get lucky or they get fortunate or they earn it. They go to school or they go to college and they earn it, you know, or they invent something or they got a good jump shot or they, you know.
You remember that movie?
Way,
you remember Malcolm X, right? Mm-hmm. When he came down to the precinct in the movie, got that guy there, that man, that cop said, I think he got too much, that man, he got too much power.
Yeah,
it's too much power for a black man to have.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, it's too much power.
Get hell out
for
of
him. And the reality is we have the ability to change our dynamics. We just have to start working on ourselves first. That's what we have to do. Like you know, our problems are not going to be fixed by the government, because if that was the case, they'd have been fixed already.
True.
And all that marching and all the people dying wouldn't have had to die if the government intentions was to make sure we was good. So the government intentions never been to make sure we was good. It's never been about us, because you got to remember we're not considered immigrants. Mostly the government is for immigrants. We're not considered immigrants. We're one of the only people who are not considered immigrants. So a lot of benefits come for the immigrants, and that's why, like, when people come to the country, they say, oh, I don't know why y'all don't take advantage of certain things. We have to take advantage of ourselves being our own resources. That's the thing that we need. We need to be able to spend with each other, buy from each other, and rebuild our trust in each other. That's what we need.
Yeah, because we can't go down to the government. I'm an immigrant.
Yeah.
We can't go down there and say that.
The first time I ever heard that was in 2007, I think, or 2005. 2007 or 2005, and I was working with this guy. I believe he was Polish. And he was telling me how when his family came, moved to America, how the United States gave them thousands of dollars, bought their house. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, we came over here. They bought us a house, and they gave us thousands. I can't remember the exact number of money, but they gave the money. I guess everybody that was coming from wherever he was from. I think he was Polish. Wherever he was coming from, they if you came from that country, they would buy you a house and give you. They still do that to certain people, give you money.
Look what they're doing in New York now. When they bust all them people from Texas, look what they're doing.
They give you money. They give you money to move to America. Give you money, set you up, buy you a house and everything. And we right here, it ain't the same. It ain't the same.
But, Joe, they got advantage to that, too, because they'll take them immigrants and say, look, clean my toilet for $2 an hour.
Why do you think they do that? Why do you think they do that to people like that? Why do you really think? And it ain't for them to clean the toilets, Miles. It ain't for that.
No.
It's not for that.
No, I'm just saying that's a sample.
No, the reason that they do that is so they can keep their numbers up. You know, Polish are considered Caucasians. Anybody
right.
that's going to be considered a Caucasian, now they can bring them over. Now they can become a citizen. Now their numbers go up. So now we become the minority. The whole battle is they don't ever want us to be the majority in this country.
Yeah, because we outgrowing them. So they got to bring other people in.
Right, so they tell us we 13% of the population. How do
exactly.
we know that? Who takes the census? We don't take the census.
You got
so
that right.
We're study saying, oh, we the minority, we 13% of the population, and this, that, and the other, but we don't really know that. We don't really know if we're 13%, because what we do know is we fill in the prisons. What we do know is comes the babies dying in the hospital, it's our children, you know? What
yeah.
we do know is high blood pressure, diabetes, and all that stuff, we at the top of the list. So how can we be at the top of the list of so much stuff but still be in a minority?
Word. Bullshit health and everything.
So the math ain't adding up somehow. You know,
you got that
the
right.
Math is the math is off. You know?
All right, so my brothers.
All right.
We're going to call it a night. Before we do that, Jay.
Rachel.
Yo.
Hit us up with your program. What's coming up for you tomorrow, Triple X? Listen up, everybody. He's going to speak about his program tomorrow, Triple X at 8.
Nah, I ain't going to let the cat. I'm not going to let the cat out the bag. I'm just going to say tune in tomorrow. I got some females from P. Well, two. Well, they was on last week, but they coming back because we got disconnected. They coming
okay.
back. And I got the pastor and I got Nephew O coming on. And, you know, we just going to talk, you know, relationship talk. You know what I mean? Relationship talk. I got some serious topics. I wrote them down somewhere. I can't really. Let me see if I can look at some of the
hey,
topics real quick.
Hey, Jay. Jay.
What up?
Look
what
under
up?
The liquor bottle. It's right next to the liquor bottle, Jay.
You think he's hitting me so good?
Good night,
huh?
Right.
He think
that's
he
my man, though.
So good.
That's
hey,
my
that's
homie.
One thing, hey Miles. One thing about me. See, I got tough skin, so you don't never got to worry. You can anything you ever want to make jokes, it never bothers me. I'm
it's
cool
good,
like
hey,
that.
Hey,
you know
it's
I mean?
All good.
Yeah, it's
that's
all good.
That's what's good
I mean,
about it, man.
You gotta,
it's all good.
You got to laugh. You got to have fun. You ain't talking about my mother or nothing like that or my kids.
Why I went through that, but I'm standing out of the corner. I can't see you coming all the day. I can feel some knuckles in my chin.
I'm gonna tell you real quick. But anyway, before I tell you about the topic, don't forget that Shadi's show moved to Saturday nights too.
Are we about to do that? I'm about to let him speak on that. Don't be speaking on him. Let him speak for himself. Do yours.
Yeah.
I asked you. Speak on your topic.
I was
8 o'clock tomorrow.
Now you got a lot to talk about, because really, I wasn't even supposed to be talking tonight. My sister, she got me. I'll talk to her later. She told me you was going
to
control the show, because, like, I got a show that dude tomorrow, then I got to work on Shadi's show, then I got to work on the show Sunday, then I got to work. So I'll be saving all my gas for my show. But anyway, my topics tomorrow is I got four topics that's going to be discussed by a white young lady, a black young lady, a pastor, and another guy. And the topic is, would you do a threesome to save
hold
your
on,
relationship?
Hold on, Jay. Hey, before you do that,
what
Jay,
up?
Remember, Miss Miller
what's
on
up?
The phone. Show some love. Miss Miller on the phone. is this your name, Miss T from last week?
You trying to start trouble.
Well, now, fuck.
That's my nigga.
Miss Latoya is the best listener. You know why? Because she support all the shows, and if she ain't feeling the conversation, she just won't get involved. If she feeling it, then she get involved. That's a number one listener right there. You know what I mean? If it's too distasteful for her, she'll just listen. But she still support it. She still will listen to the show.
All right,
you know,
y'all hear that, right? All you listeners out there, y'all hear that? That's Triple X tomorrow, 8 p.m.
Or either she'll come on the show and say, Jay Sean, but you better not ask me nothing like that. Or one of them like that.
That?
But,
now, y'all all hear this. Tomorrow, 8 o'clock, the same number you on today. Call in.
The second. Mm-hmm. the first topic was, would you do a threesome to save your relationship or your marriage if your mate wanted? The second topic is, have you ever had sex with somebody and regretted it as soon as it was over? The third topic is, if you broke up with your spouse, your husband or your fiance or whatever, if you broke up with your spouse and you had sex, should you or could you tell them who you had sex with? And the fourth topic is, would you prefer affection all day or sex all night? You know what my show is going to be.
All right.
It's going to be, we know what we talk about on my show. Relationship.
So everybody
talk
listen,
at
that's
best.
Deep with him tomorrow.
No, that one is all for you. So write your essay for tomorrow, Miles. Do you want to affection all day or sex all night? Don't answer it right now. Answer it tomorrow.
I already got my answers already written out.
No. Okay, I bet you do. I bet you would do a threesome. You would do a threesome to save your relationship, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
I ain't got no comment. Okay, Brother D, you still there?
Yeah.
Hit us up with Saturday with you, brother. What's up with you on Saturday?
Like Jay speak about relationships, I speak about, us. You know, that's pretty much it, us and, basically self-help.
You see the difference there, Jay? You all gangster. He all business. That's what makes y'all too great, man. That's what makes y'all too great. You could go from Friday, you could go to, on Friday, you go to madness. On Saturday, you go to reality. Can't beat that. Now, you can't beat that.
And you know what's really crazy, though? He could do my show just as good as I do it, and I could do his show just as good as he do it. That's what's good.
But he's been doing that ever since he knew you was 9 years old.
I said that. If he wanted to, he could run my show just like I do, and if I wanted to, I could run his show just like he do. That's the greatness of
that's
us.
That's how it works,
you know what
man.
I'm saying?
That's what
yeah,
you call communication.
Yeah,
good,
yeah, yeah.
Good,
I mean, you know,
y'all got chemistry. Y'all got that chemistry that a lot of people don't have, man. You know each other very well, and you speak
You know what else I'm gonna say before we get off this line? Let me tell you something. I know Miles. Every time I say this, Miles be like, "We know." But me and Shadi, we knew each other since we met in the fourth grade at 9 years old. Fourth grade.
I know.
That was a long time ago. That was 50 years ago. But
you ain't see the stuff outside out there on the block right there.
Who?
The sign said Jay knew Shadi since they were 9 years old.
Wow. So look, that's 50 years. You can't
yeah,
get 50 that.
Years
50
years ago.
50 years never had an argument or nothing. But look, to show you how life is and how unique life is and how different life is and all that. We met when we was 9 years old, and we both. We've been together friends for 50 years, and tonight was the first time I ever heard Shadi said that he's seen his real father before. I never knew that. I never asked him. He never told me. This was the first time I ever heard him say that in my life. So our friendship was based on us. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't really based on. Our friendship was based on us building each other, you know what I mean, and building like that from inward, you know what I mean? Even though we had parents and stuff like that, we never really discussed that too much. It was about us, our friends, our hood, and just trying to make it in this world. You know what I'm saying? So
and you know,
I
that's
thought
one,
that was like, go ahead.
That's a hard thing to do growing up, man, trying to get your life straightened out, figure stuff out, and trying to figure, like, okay, if I do this, what's going to happen? If I do that, I hope for this, hope for that. And then, you know, you always sit back. Like here we is, we're in our 50s, 60s. You know, Miss Miller, you're still young at it, but, you know, you sit back and reminisce about, you know, the things we went through growing up. And I'm going to tell you the truth, man. I never thought I'd reach 25 growing up, man. I really never thought I would make it past 25. And here I am, 60, and I'm 65, and I'd be like, damn, I actually made it this long.
Yeah.
And I grew up in some rough neighborhood, man. I've been shot 5 times.
You stayed away from them relationships. That's why, you know, so you were good.
When I was 14, I got hit with 5 bullets. And I survived
that.
When I was 1972.
Wow.
And I survived.
Yeah, you got a story to tell.
Hey, to this day, Jay, I got a bullet in each leg to this day that they couldn't move because it was too close on a main vein in my body. And they was afraid, you know, they might nip it and I bleed out.
We're gonna find you love before this year is over with, okay?
Hope we don't play that, man. Hey, Jay, you know, I love you like a brother, man. I like you said, screw love, man.
No,
I don't want your love. I want that real love, not that screw love stuff you be talking about.
more people starting to say screw love now. I must be rubbing off on a couple of people.
Hey, Sade.
I'm rubbing off on a couple of people.
How long you been married, Sha?
23 years, man.
DJ, that's what I'm looking for.
What?
That's what I've been trying to get, that kind of love, that kind of relationship, that many years. That's why I had only had a few in my lifetime, because I've been trying to hold on, you know, try to make it work. And when
that ain't easy to do all them years. That ain't easy now.
You're talking like
it would have been easy for you, like 20. That's what I.
No,
want,
no,
like,
I'm saying know. I've been trying. That's the kind of things I've been looking for out of life. You know, I want a long time relationship. I don't want to be just bouncing around, man. You know, I would like to settle down, raise a family, and I know you got to work at that. It don't come easy. It don't come with no instructions on a book with that. Like, okay, I do, you do. Here's the instruction book.
I was married 10 years, and then I was one time, the first time I was married 10 years, the second time I was married 8 years. First time I was married from 20 to 30. I broke up a couple of times and got back together, but that was like my 20s. That's why my whole life, like, it always been backwards, like, because I was married from 20 to 30, so I lived my 30s to 40s like my 20s to 30s. I lived my 40 to 50s like my 30 to 40. It always felt like I was 10 years back, you know, my whole life. I always just felt like I was 10 years behind, like I'm playing catch up. But really,
you know, when I hear people
up.
Who've been married that long, I always want to listen to, you know. You know, I know it wasn't easy, but, you know, how was it? How do you make that work like that, you know?
See, I never got married because I wanted to. I always got married because the other person wanted to. So I didn't get married for the right reasons. You know, like, I never was like, I'm on one knee. I love you. Would you marry me? Nah, see, mine was different. Mine was like pressure. You know,
oh, so they
went,
hey, marry
like
me. What the hell? Okay. Like
yeah,
that?
Something like, the second time, yeah, it was like that. The first time it was a shotgun wedding. You know, back in them days, you get somebody's daughter pregnant, you got to get married, you know, so.
Yeah, you say that stuff back then. You get my daughter pregnant, mm-hmm. man, you get a bullet in your behind.
Mm-hmm. So I've never really been married because I just wanted to. Like, I've never been, never, you know, like, I just, like, I want to marry you. I've never been like that. So some kind
All right.
of way, like, I feel like I cheated a little bit, you know, but,
Okay, this is what I want you to do today. What's your favorite word after a show?
After a show, what you mean?
When the show over, what's your favorite word?
Great stuff.
Oh,
Go ahead and say it, Jay.
It was a really great show.
All right. Now, for all the listeners out there, that's, you can hear me and online, we're going to check back with you tomorrow at 8 p.m. where you get the Triple X effect. Don't miss it. I'm telling you, ain't nothing like a Friday at 8 p.m. What's that number again, Jay? Give me that number, Jay.
563-999-3718. That's what he said.
He act like he got somewhere to go, right?
Yeah, he act like he got a woman.
Like he said, ladies and gents, 563-999-3718, 8 p.m.
Yes.
You don't want to miss this.
That's
and believe me, tomorrow, babe, get your popcorn,
okay.
Get your sodas. If you got a girlfriend, boyfriend, put them next to the phone. You're going to hear some serious stuff. And we talk about Triple X stuff. So if you can handle it, call in. If not, God bless you. We'll send you an email. Saturday, don't forget, Brother Shadi, keeping it real with him. Now, if you want a reality check, that's who you speak to. That's who you listen to. That's the effect
All
you
right.
get from that hangover from Jay Show.
Wow.
So we're going to call it out.
Play the last one.
Hit me with a good song, Jay. Take us home.
All right, everybody have a safe night.
It's a pleasure, Miss Miller.
We'll talk
right.
to you tomorrow. All right.
I hope I did all right, guys.
All right, good night.
No, you did.
All right, Miss Miller. All right.
Trouble in my life. Problems where you don't come for. At night. Your butterfly. But I can't.
Thank you. See if you react to my love.